Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
The ongoing battle, the ongoing yin and yang in the world of immigration continues, where we have a variety of different judges and courts stepping in, issuing, in some cases, conflicting opinions. But this one specifically, Pamela, where a federal judge yesterday stepped in the middle of a deportation. And I'm not talking about the last minute. This is like a Tom Cruise movie where the bomb was ticking down to like 3, 2, 1, and the judge clicked the wire at 1.
Right, so you've got this judge, Judge Sullivan, who is hearing an emergency hearing.
Got it.
When you hear of emergency, there's a sense of immediacy.
Obviously, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So he has this emergency hearing about this asylum for a mom and a daughter.
They had applied for
seeking asylum. And they
got
have
it.
This emergency hearing before a judge.
Okay.
And during the court hearing,
yes,
the ACLU attorney who is representing the daughter and the mother,
got it,
gets an email.
Got it. Ding.
Her clients are currently,
yes,
on a plane headed to El Salvador.
Yes. In the middle of their asylum hearing, are they the defendants or the plaintiffs at that case? I'm not sure.
Her clients.
The clients were on a plane being deported to El Salvador. They were somewhere between the United States and El Salvador in the middle of their hearing.
This judge.
Let me guess, he didn't like that.
Oh, good.
I don't think judges like things like that.
Oh, good.
Like, just as a matter of principle.
Okay, so we're having a hearing. I told you, like, these people are staying here until we rule on this. You put them on a plane back to El. You know what he did?
Yeah.
You better turn that plane around.
Here's what he said.
Turn that plane around.
I'm going to read it like he said it. Okay? So he was told. The government attorneys agreed. They said, yes, this is happening. He said, oh, I want those people brought back forthwith. He used forthwith in a sentence. I'm not asking, I'm ordering. He ordered them to turn a federal judge.
I will turn this plane around.
You will turn this plane around or we are never getting to Disneyland. He ordered them to turn the plane around and the government would have been held in contempt if they didn't. They turned the plane around.
He goes, quote, this is the judge. I know I'm raising my voice, but I am extremely upset about this. This is not acceptable.
Forthwith.
Forthwith.
I got to use forthwith
Everything has to end with forthwith.
I
got to
love it. He used forthwith.
He also threatened to hit AG Jeff Sessions, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, with contempt.
Yes.
Forthwith. Saying that if the immigrants weren't returned, he was going to have them explain why people should not be held in contempt of court. And I'm going to start with the attorney general.
I'm going to start at the top. He basically was threatening their bosses, the government's attorneys, immigration attorneys. The DOJ is in there arguing the asylum case. I don't know what their claim for asylum is. But the idea that they had a court case in front of a judge and the government thought this is a good time to literally put them on the plane and fly them out of the country in the middle of their court case and their hearing, this judge bristled at, I think is a nice way to put
to say
it.
The least. Okay, so bristled. What is their asylum case? All right, according to their lawsuit, the mom and the daughter came to the U.S. from El Salvador.
Okay.
After 2 decades of horrific sexual abuse by her husband and death threats from a violent gang, mom moved away from her husband. He raped her, stalked her, threatened to kill her. Further, a gang held her at gunpoint in May and demanded she pay a monthly tax or they would kill her and her daughter. She said that she knew of people killed by their husbands after going to police and by this gang, and that is why she fled to the United States.
Now, I will acknowledge. Yeah, I feel like I have to walk a fine line here. I will acknowledge that life in El Salvador for many people is horrific. It is worse than any of us can imagine. It's worse than our worst day. Okay? I will acknowledge that. I can also understand and acknowledge why and how is that the responsibility or the problem of the United States of America?
Well,
do you see what I'm saying? Like, I can walk and chew gum. So, you know, my policy all along has been, by the time they get on the train, the bus, or pay the coyote to come to the United States, it's probably a little too late, that we would, in the long run, this is kind of a you pay me now, you pay me later, that we would be better served in making El Salvador a place they didn't feel they needed to flee for their lives.
So, okay, so she's fleeing a gang. If she was fleeing ISIS, would she be granted asylum? Do you see what I'm saying?
Would we feel differently?
Are we splitting hairs here? Now, keep in mind that this administration has started to tighten the
criteria.
The criteria for which you can seek asylum.
They've been doing it forthwith, by the way.
Forthwith. This particular mom and daughter were already in the United States with these claims of asylum prior to the administration tightening the criteria. So they would not fall under what is currently a much more difficult obstacle to overcome.
Well, and to be clear, again, if you're going to have a discussion about this, we have to deal in a world of facts. These are people who are not sneaking across the border in the middle of the night. Many of these asylum seekers, and we understand this from the Border Patrol, come to legal border crossings. Think Nogales, think Douglas, think Tijuana, okay? Think El Paso. And present themselves. Like you as a U.S., I don't know how many times you've been to Mexico or whatever, but you come back and forth. Are you a U.S. citizen?
No.
Maybe you have to show ID or something like that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you need a passport.
You need a passport now. You need a real ID card, whatever it might be, that you can pass back and forth. They come in and present themselves, says, I am seeking asylum. And by law, there is a process that happens after that.
Let's just get back to the judge in this case. Imagine being the judge, Bruce, forthwith. You were sitting up there.
I would like to be a federal judge. Let's get one thing straight, because I like...
No, you'd like to be king.
Exactly. Okay. And federal judges are pretty darn close.
So you're up there on the bench.
Yes.
You're having an emergency hearing.
We're hearing the case. Both sides are arguing their sides. Yes, I'm listening.
And during the recess, one of the attorneys comes to you and says, hey, Judge Bruce.
Good news, bad news.
You know, this mother-daughter that we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're currently over Texas right now.
Yeah.
You know, and they're being sent down to Mexico.
Did they open up the flight tracker app, you know, and you have like a little picture of the plane flying and go, here's where they are right now.
Yeah.
They're over the Gulf of Mexico.
And you as a judge, you're sitting here going, whoa.
I haven't even ruled on this yet.
Who signed off on this?
I'm not saying which way I'm going to rule.
What gives you the authority?
Exactly.
To do this, and hence the reason why he said, okay, you know what? You better return them. Turn that plane around. And if they are not returned, not only is Attorney General Sessions, but the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Citizenship and Immigration Services Director, and Executive Office for Immigration Review Director all need to appear in my court and say why they should not be held in contempt. He was ticked.
Yeah. This does get into this. There is a constitutional question around this. This does get into the balance of powers, which is boring for a lot of people, and I find fascinating. The yin and the yang between the executive, the judiciary, and the legislative branch, and what kind of power does a judge have? Because the judge could, the old joke is, the judge could say, I say joke, I'm going to hold Attorney General Sessions in court. And Sessions goes, and who are you going to get to drag me into court?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to turn out? Who's your police force? Because I know the Department of Justice, they work for me. They're not going to come into my office and put handcuffs on me. How are you going to get me to do that? And that gets into the whole, well, we'll find out who really has the power. Like, he can threaten it all he wants.
But they turned the plane around.
They did turn the plane around, to their credit. I don't even know how this ended. We don't know the final ruling or whatnot. And I think the final ruling is irrelevant. I am fine with the process moving forward. I'm not okay with what has been a pretty standard practice of playing fast and loose with the rules and the law on the part of this administration, where they're literally deporting people in the middle of their hearings.
Emergency hearings.
Emergency hearings. Absolutely ridiculous. I use the term hypersensitive to sound. Do things like people smacking their lips.
No.
Or chewing gum loudly.
Oh, stop.
Or breathing. Does it drive you nuts?
Oh, no.
Well, guess what? You're not alone. And scientists now say you're a sufferer. I can only imagine that this is going to be followed in the next 15 minutes by a pill to help you, okay? Misophonia. Misophonia. We'll talk about it after Bob McClay checks in with our top stories.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I'm hoping this doesn't get added to the maladies like restless leg syndrome or something. We've created a pill that solves a problem you didn't know you had. But there are people out there who are, I took this as not just sensitive, but almost hypersensitive to certain sounds. Well, researchers have now said that a severe sensitivity to sounds like chewing, coughing, yawning, and more is a condition called misophonia. Am I pronouncing it, or is it misophonia?
Well, I think you can go with either. Miso.
Tomato, tomato.
Is hatred. The root word is hatred.
I did not know
phonia,
that.
Phonia, sound.
I knew phonia.
Hatred of sound.
Hatred of sound.
And hi, uh-oh. My name is Pamela.
Yes.
And I think I suffer from misophonia.
You're a sufferer. Oh, misophonia. oh, misophonia. Oh, misophonia. Me love you long time. Is that not the lyrics?
No.
I wasn't sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. How do we know if you are a misophonia sufferer?
Okay, there's actually a little test.
Is it written?
Okay. One, I am upset by loud noises more than quiet or soft noises. Yes. I'm also upset mostly by noises that won't stop, like traffic. I think it's annoying.
Loud noises!
Bruce is a loud noise.
Okay,
so the test for misophonia, though, because those other ones, they show that you've got some sort of sensitivity.
Sensitivity.
Are there sounds that you cannot tolerate, even if the sound is short?
No.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Do you instantly have a response to the sound that starts with irritation or disgust and almost immediately becomes anger? It doesn't become anger. It becomes frustration for me. Yes, I suffer. Okay, so, super producer.
Give me an example.
I don't know. I'm just going to start playing these and it's probably going to drive
me
nuts.
Because I want to know. Well, I'm being serious. Since I am not a sufferer, amazingly enough, here's a malady I don't have. Was that like eating cereal? Eating Captain Crunch. That's Captain Crunch.
That one doesn't bother me.
I can tell by the sound that's Captain Crunch.
That is the one my chewing drives my wife nuts.
Okay.
You know what? I can't.
And it's not even if your mouth's open. It's just the chewing sound.
Yes. I can't take the noise.
I don't know what I do.
I don't know if this is it. If this is the noise. Oh, yeah. Oh, that is horrible.
Really?
I'm going to stop it. Yes.
You're cringing at the sound.
That's like mouth open.
Oh,
yeah, like licking your lips or you're clicking your tongue inside your mouth.
I cannot.
No, you can't.
I like slurping
like getting the last bit of a Jamocha shake out of your Arby's cup. Just like
a little heavy breathing there for you on this Friday.
That almost sounds like somebody like sleeping, almost snoring.
Oh,
a drill. Dentist drill. Right?
Okay, for me, I get so sensitive to it. My husband just laughs.
You're serious about this.
I am serious.
You are a sufferer, Pamela.
The commercial, and whether it's a beer or a soda, you know, they like pop the top.
They do the whoosh,
and then they pour it into a glass. If it sounded like that, I'd be able to take it.
You'd be okay with it.
But the sound of pouring a beverage into the glass, I got to turn it down.
Really?
It is so annoying.
Now, I got a question. If you do it in real life, because you've been known to known to drink a beer or six, if you pour it in your own life, does it? Or
if you have enough
TV?
Of them, you don't even hear it then.
After the fourth beer, I don't hear a thing.
So it's all good.
What are you talking about?
But
I have no idea how this beer got from a bottle into this glass. It was magic.
I just thought I was weird. Don't comment on that.
Yeah.
But I have, since high school, college, I've slept with a white noise machine at night. So I have to have that
Okay, I have a noisemaker. I have a noise machine. I think mine is like the waves.
You know, I can't do the waves because I will actually pick up on the cadence of the waves zero in on it.
Really?
And so if there's a fan, ceiling fan.
I like fans.
And if it's just going tick, 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 I'm fine because it's constant.
Okay.
But if it's like...
crazy.
Oh, man. My, in the middle of the night, like, I will hop like, up on the
it.
Bed.
That's it.
And I start shaking the fan.
Beating on the fan. What are you doing to the fan?
And he gets up and the fan's
are
like all
the
like cockeyed.
Yeah, yeah, you know, what is going on?
Oh, man.
Why are you attacking the fan?
I cannot.
What did the fan do to you?
Take it.
Really?
Now, coughing doesn't. Yeah, coughing doesn't bother me too much. The one out of all this that just gets me. Oh, did you put more in there, Stevie Z? Oh, man, what else do we have
I still want
in there?
The beer pouring.
Oh, here we go. Asking you shall receive. Oh, no.
Pamela threw her headphones off. She can't even hear us right now. Really? That is bizarre. Pamela? Hi, my name is Pamela, and I suffer from misophonia.
I can't be alone.
I'm not kidding you. They're going to have a pill. There's going to be a
pill
in just a little bit. They say that people with this disorder...
I have a disorder?
...have a difference in their brain's frontal lobe, and it causes an intense reaction to noise. It leads to a faster heart rate and sweating.
Yeah, I bet you if I check my heart rate right now, it's probably up. But let me see here.
Look at that.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, misophonia.
Yeah.
They're laughing in the other side of the glass.
Of course.
I think they're laughing at you.
I threw my headphones on. I can't be alone. Do you suffer from this?
Misophonia.
What sounds get to you? 602-200-2733. It's our open mic line. 602-200-2733.
Nick said, in the history of this show, I have never agreed more with Pamela than right now. All right, Nick. You're another misophonia sufferer. NFL preseason started. That means the preseason debate over the national anthem has started. We'll give you the latest on that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I'm preparing for my fantasy football draft, Pamela.
Oh, great.
I'm already preparing to get clobbered, and I'm preparing for another miserable year of fantasy football. Aim low, you can't fall off the floor. But last night, there was preseason football. It's back on TV. The Cardinals have a preseason game coming up this weekend. And if it's football season, that means, of course, it's national anthem season.
Yeah, we got some protests at several of the NFL games where players were taking a knee or staying in tunnels or raising fists. Take a listen.
Delvin Smith of the Jacksonville Jaguars stayed in the locker room during the national anthem.
Can't answer if it's going to be every week, but as a man, I got to stand for something.
Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles raised a fist.
I couldn't really think of a good reason not to.
The NFL has delayed enforcing a policy that could result in players being disciplined for certain conduct during the playing of the anthem. The NFL said it has been engaged in constructive discussions with the players' union about the anthem and issues of equality and social justice.
Yeah, so it's continuing to go on. It's pretty much situation normal. It doesn't seem to be dramatically different than last year. Predictably, Trump is tweeting about it.
The president wasted no time this morning to call out NFL players who took a knee during the national anthem in their first preseason game, tweeting today that the players have no business protesting when they, quote, make a fortune doing what they love. He said, be happy, be cool. A football game where fans are paying so much money to watch and enjoy is no place to protest.
Be happy, be cool.
Literally tweeted, be happy, be cool. That's not a joke.
Okay.
Like, that wasn't, they weren't making words
up.
Be best. Be happy, be cool.
Be best. You need that a t-shirt, okay? Be happy, be cool, be best.
Yeah. To be clear, I think, again, facts still matter in the world. The players, whether they stayed in the locker room, whether they raised a fist, whether they took a knee or what other things happened, and again, they all kind of run it through whatever their own filter is, they are not protesting the national anthem. That's a fact. They are not protesting the American flag. That's a fact. They are not protesting the military or soldiers. That's a fact. Your opinion on why they are protesting, if it includes one of those things, is irrelevant. That's your opinion. If you choose not to understand what they're protesting, that's a choice you've made. It's a choice, obviously, Donald Trump has made, but You can ignore what they're protesting, but you don't get to put on it what they are protesting. Any more than, you know, every vote for Trump is a vote for Russia. Why? Because, well, that's what I think it is. Well, no, that's not what it is.
But can you at
least... You cannot project your opinion onto what they are doing.
Can you at least acknowledge that the whole movement, prison reform, injustice with African-American young men in...
Police brutality,
violence. Yeah, because,
violence.
I mean, that's when this really came to fruition with Colin Kaepernick
started
there
with
was
that,
a
yeah.
series of, I say videos because I think that's what
almost
really,
all were cell phone videos, right?
Yeah, where we were seeing young African-American men who had been brutally attacked or murdered by law enforcement. And I think that's kind of was the catalyst for it. That being said, Bruce, you have to at least acknowledge that it's been co-opted. Now, you may not like the fact that it's been co-opted.
Co-opted by what or who?
It has been co-opted by the president. It has been co-opted by... I'm not going to say all, but some veterans, people who
wrongly, but yeah,
but you have to acknowledge that it's been co-opted, and so you've got
but they're wrong.
People who are they're offended when you kneel for the flag, or when you sit for the flag, or you don't take your hat off for the flag or the national anthem.
Well, they're selectively outraged, but keep going.
I'm trying to have a discussion here, man, to try to get at what people are feeling, and I understand that that might not be the catalyst for the movement. That is what people have taken away from it. So I think that
whose fault is that?
I think that the NFL not addressing it initially when it happened, and when they first came out with these rules that they've now delayed, right?
Well, they were supposed to be 2018 rules, the new season rules.
Correct. And they came out like earlier this year after the owners meeting, and they were going to punish players. They were going to punish players who either took a knee. I think they could have stayed
in
the locker
room. Their option was to not come out of
the field during
the
national anthem. But if you did come out, you were required to stand. If you didn't, you could be penalized. Some of the penalties that were being kicked around.
Warm and mandatory patriotism.
They were very... They were strict penalties. I mean, some of the penalties that some teams said that they were going to levy against these players were more so than what we saw for domestic violence or domestic abuse.
That's not an exaggeration. Jameis Winston assaulted his Uber driver. Was it an Uber driver?
Yeah, right here in Scottsdale.
Yeah. He got a 3-game suspension.
This could have been 4.
This would have been a 4-game suspension for not forced patriotism that they think that's more important than assault.
Once the NFL owners came out with those guidelines and the union, the players union, came out immediately and said that is unacceptable, they waited months and months and months to actually address it, getting into camp, getting into preseason. The NFL has been horrible. You got really smart people in the NFL, and the NFL has been horrible at dealing with this situation. They should have brought these players, Colin Kaepernick, others, together. What can we do to address this issue? How can we have this conversation in a constructive manner where we bring a positive light to it so there are discussions? They wear pink sneakers every October,
yeah, different,
for goodness
different
sake.
Colored bands and
you know,
all these other things.
Which is very important to me, having a family member who has had breast cancer.
They do camouflage for military
and I'm sure that there are a lot of players who've been touched by breast cancer as well.
Absolutely.
But when you're looking at the amount of players who are taking a stance on this important social issue, I think the NFL dropped the ball and is now not serving its players as well as its fans.
Yeah. I just keep getting back to the point that you're projecting what you think they're protesting on is not their problem. That's your problem.
Well, it is becoming their problem when you've got owners who are seeing a dip in viewership. Now, is that all because of the protest? No, I'm not going to lay it solely at the feet of the protests.
And that it's a bit of a straw man argument.
But I mean, there is an aspect of that.
Other sports are down more than the NFL, and they're not kneeling, so I can't make a 1-to-1.
And you're not going to. There's a lot of different factors as to why viewership may be down, but That's probably a contributing factor to some degree. To what degree? I don't know.
Might be drawing people to it.
Join money expert and New York Times bestselling author Rachel Cruze on November 8th for Money and Marriage, a date night worth investing in. Just visit the rewards page at ktar.com. We got your complete details there and your chance to win tickets as well as a backstage experience.
Wow. It'd be great having Rachel in town. It's phenomenal. Absolutely is. Hey, I see movies, except for the scary ones, so that you don't have to. Spike Lee, Pamela, has a new movie coming out. It opens today. We're going to tell you about it. That's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Bruce tells you what you need to see and what you can most definitely skip at the theater this week. It's Bruce St. James.
Yeah, still not seeing the scary ones. Let's get that out of the way. There's a scary movie I didn't see this week. Like, I could list all the scary movies I don't see. We could do a whole thing about, here's scary movies I won't see.
That'll be riveting radio.
Yeah, let's just avoid that. Let's talk about the ones that I do see, have seen, will see, including this one. It is the latest movie from filmmaker Spike Lee, who always comes at films from a certain distinct point of view.
Have we gotten a film from him in a long time?
Was the last one Chirac? The one about Chicago and the violence in Chicago?
Okay.
And if I missed one in there, I apologize. I think that was the last one a couple of years ago. But this latest one is called Black Klansman. And it is the story of the first African-American detective to join the Colorado Springs Police Department and him exposing the Klan.
There's never been a black cop in this city. We think you might be the man to open things up around here.
The KKK is planning an attack.
How do you propose to make this investigation?
We'll establish contact over the phone.
We'll need a white officer to play me when they meet face to face.
You for the white race, Ron?
Oh, hell yeah.
So there becomes a combined
Ron Stallworth.
Can you do that?
With the right white man, we can do anything.
What? Okay, let's talk about the movie. This is a really good movie. A lot of Spike Lee movies come across as like an hour and a half of preaching.
Yeah.
I will acknowledge that. And that has an audience in and of itself. This is the most accessible, entertaining, sometimes funny, sometimes oh my God movie that Spike Lee has made, I would say probably since Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
Where it is a real movie. It's not just a preaching. Okay. John David Washington is the actor that plays Ron Stallworth. I love Adam Driver
Love him.
Who plays white Ron Stallworth, basically. Because the concept of the movie is, it's true story. Ron Stallworth
exists.
Answered an ad in the Colorado Springs newspaper that was put there by the local Klan. Just kind of to see what would happen. Well, they wanted to meet with him. Well, he obviously, being a black police officer, couldn't show up. So his fellow detective, played by Adam Driver, played him in real life in the Klan meetings and infiltrated the Klan and uncovered some, they were going to blow things up, you know, as you hear about things with the Klan. But the movie is hilarious in some places. It is interesting in others. And I liked it a lot. There's a but.
Oh, my dad always said nothing before the butt matters. You really liked it. It was great. It was interesting. But?
Yeah. So I really liked it. But at the end of the film, I would say Spike Lee couldn't stop himself. He couldn't resist taking a film about racism and about the Klan. And he, the last, I would say like right before the ending credits, you know how they kind of wrap a film up. So the film's over. And it basically becomes a mini PSA about what happened in Charlottesville, racism. Like, it comes into modern day where he's tying, because this story.
With the actors?
No.
Oh, okay.
With real thing. Because this story is from 1978. That's when Ron Stallworth was a member of the Colorado Springs Police Department and went undercover to expose the Klan.
20 years ago.
Yeah. Met with David Duke. I mean, really infiltrated the Klan. And then he makes the big thing where you have to tie it all of this. So I'm not saying that there's not ties. I'm not saying that there aren't parallels that you could make. Let's leave that aside. For me, it was kind of like, it was deflating at the end of the film because I was like, I really enjoyed this movie. Oh, great. Now I have to watch a newsreel about how screwed up everything is. You know what I'm saying?
Like, so you really couldn't get away from it.
Yeah. I kind of went to the movie to get away from it. And I really enjoyed it. Now,
Is good, but the PSA, you're like,
I just
thought
the end of it, you know, for me, it was like you had to beat you over the head with it.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, you know what? I got the parallels by watching the film. I didn't need you to be so obvious and show, again, clips of news pieces from modern times to show that things haven't changed dramatically from 1978. Okay? I didn't need that. I got the symbolism all the way through the film. 1 to 5 scale, I still gave BlacKkKlansman a 4.5. It's a good movie. It's a good, it's a entertaining, good movie. I'd have given it a 5 if the end of it hadn't left me deflated. Yeah. It is the best Spike Lee film in quite some time.
Okay.
And again, it's an accessible. Listen, they're both good.
Is it funny? Is it funny?
There are some.
Is it all serious?
Listen, no. Okay. Because, listen.
I just need to laugh now.
The Klan.
We all need to laugh more.
The Klan are a bunch of bumbling idiots at a lot of times, you know? And the whole idea, you know, with the right might man, we can do anything. Adam Driver and John David Washington play the white and black Ron Stallworth. And it's entertaining. BlacKkKlansman, a 4.5 out of 5. Hope you enjoy that this weekend, all right? So, we have a check of the headlines on the way, and then we're going to come back playing right off of this. What's the difference between hate speech and speech we don't agree with? We have an expert. It's going to help us understand it next.